This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now. Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Man, sad to hear that story about the accident in Illinois last night. Make sure that you take your time and allow for additional time this morning as you're making your way around the metropolitan area. It is 6 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. And again, that is 10 o'clock in case you forgot to properly adjust your clocks. Fall back from last night. I'm Mike Kelly. Welcome to another edition of Sports on a Sunday with you until 12 noon. Zach Schmidt sitting in, running the show for us this week. Always great to see Zach, who does a terrific job here at KMOX. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk hockey with John Kelly at about 10:15. Missouri football coach Barry Odom will join us at about 10:30, talk about the Tigers' big win on the road at Florida yesterday afternoon. It was a big day in college football. Dennis Dodd will assess the results from yesterday. Dennis Dodd, of course, the former St. Louis Sun sports writer with CBS Sports. We'll talk to him coming up to close hour number one. Hour number two, Dan McLaughlin from ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, of course, does a terrific job doing the Cardinals play-by-play on Fox Sports Midwest. He'll visit with Cardinals utility man Greg Garcia. We'll hear from St. Louis U basketball coach Travis Ford at about 11:20. The Billikens open up the season coming up on Tuesday. The Cardinals president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, will join us. We'll preview the general manager's meetings, which get underway in earnest in Carlsbad, California, coming up on Tuesday. And we'll visit with Frank Viverito to close the show at about 11:45. The Musial Awards coming up later this month. It is a great night of sports in St. Louis if you get a chance to make your way to the Musial Awards. We'll tell you more about that coming up in hour number two. Let's go through the headlines for you. It was an absolutely embarrassing night for the Note on the corner of 14th and Clark last night. Minnesota rolled by the Blues 5-1. Nick Seeler's goal gave the Wild a 2-0 lead.
Coyle gets the puck for the Wild in the Blues zone. Turns it onto the forehand, up to the blue line. Here's a drive by Seeler. He scores! Through the screen of Allen. That one comes stick side. And all of a sudden, Minnesota's up by a score of 2-0 as they get two goals in less than a minute.
Seeler with two assists for Minnesota. The Wild outshoot the Blues at home 45-16. Minnesota now has won seven of its last eight. Buffalo over Ottawa 9-2. It was Edmonton 4, Detroit 3, Tampa Bay 4, Montreal 1, the Islanders 3, New Jersey nothing, Toronto 5, Pittsburgh nothing. In overtime, Dallas over Washington 4-3, Nashville 1, Boston nothing, Calgary beat Chicago 5-3, Vegas 3, Carolina nothing, the Kings over Columbus 4-1, and in overtime, San Jose 4, Philadelphia 3. Well, after being knocked to the canvas a week ago, losing to Kentucky on the game's final play, Saturday Mizzou got up and delivered a knockout punch. The Tigers pound 11th-ranked Florida in the swamp in Gainesville. Final score, 38-17.
I'm proud of my guys and proud of the way that they continue to battle. You know, we talk all the time about opportunities and when they exist. In life, it's not ever going to work out exactly the way that one in every situation. Just like last week, you've got to continue to fight and work and prepare. And if you do it together, eventually, if you stay true to the process and the core of how you do it organizationally, then you'll break down a wall like we did tonight. And now the challenge is put this one behind us and let's get ready for the second week in November.
That's Tigers head coach Barry Odom. His team 5-4 on the season, 1-4 in the SEC. The win, the first over a ranked opponent for Missouri since the Citrus Bowl in January of 2015. Drew Locke throws three touchdown passes. He wins his first game against a ranked team in his college career. One of his TD strikes went to his tight end, Albert Okwe Bunam.
That makes me more proud of Drew than anything. You know, with the type of criticism he's received outside of here, just completely blocking everything out and, you know, only putting our team first and, you know, being completely unselfish, you know, coming out and playing like a, having a performance like he did tonight. It's just, you can't get anything better from your quarterback.
Some history for Locke now with 90 career touchdown passes. Locke moves past Chris Leak, Tim Tebow, and Peyton Manning. He sits all alone in third place for the most touchdown passes in SEC history. The Tigers will host Vanderbilt next Saturday morning. Number one, Alabama goes on the road and absolutely dominates. Number four, LSU, 29-0. Bama, 576 yards of total offense. Tua Tagovailoa throws two touchdown passes. LSU has not scored against the Crimson Tide in 11 consecutive quarters. Number two, Clemson destroys Louisville, 77-16. Travis Etienne, 153 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Ian Book throws two touchdown passes. Number three, Notre Dame overcomes perhaps what was his toughest hurdle between the Irish finishing with an unbeaten record. They win at Northwestern, 31-21. Number five, Michigan rolls over number 14, Penn State, 42-7. Sixth-ranked Georgia wins at number 11, Kentucky, 34-17. DeAndre Swift runs for 156 and two scores. Georgia clinches the East. It sets up a rematch against Alabama back inside the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta on December the 1st for the SEC Championship. Alabama wins the West yesterday by beating LSU. Of course, the last time these two hooked up in Atlanta, it was in the national championship game. Second and 26 in OT. Tua Tagovailoa delivers the national championship on a deep throw. Number seven, Oklahoma wins a shootout against Texas Tech on the road in Lubbock, 51-46. Kyler Murray, 360 yards passing. Three touchdowns. Number eight, Ohio State over Nebraska in a close one, 36-31. 10th-ranked Washington State comes back to beat California. They score a late touchdown, 19-13, the final. Number 12, West Virginia scores late to beat number 15, Texas, 42-41. Will Greer throws the game winner, but then wins it with a two-point conversion. Arizona State over number 16, Utah, 38-20. SMU beat number 17, Houston, 45-31. Purdue over number 19, Iowa, 38-36. Number 20, Fresno State over UNLV, 48-3. Number 21, Mississippi State, 45. Louisiana Tech, 3. Next up for Mississippi State, they travel to Tuscaloosa to take on the Crimson Tide. Number 22, Syracuse over Wake Forest, 41-24. 24th-ranked Boston College beat Virginia Tech on the road, 31-21. Boston College will host Clemson coming up next week. And Auburn scores late to beat number 25, Texas A&M, 28-24. The Rangers have hired Los Angeles Dodgers third base coach Chris Woodward as their new manager, 6 weeks after Jeff Banister was fired. Well, today in St. Louis, it's another class headed into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. And once again, some of the biggest names in sports will be inducted. Former Rams wide receiver Isaac Bruce, six-time Olympic gold medalist Jackie Joyner-Kersee, 16-year big league pitcher Mark Burley, just to name a few. One of the inductees, though, you might not have heard much about. He's had a major impact, though, on sports here locally. Incarnate Word head basketball coach Dan Rolfes. He's won an astonishing 8 state titles in girls basketball. His record, by the way, 525 wins, 70 defeats going into this season. Now, while the record is impressive, changing lives with college scholarships is what drives him.
That goes beyond winning any game or winning any state championship. And I tell people that all the time. I mean, I've enjoyed the relationships with the kids and the families more than I have anything. And I would sacrifice every win for that. There's no doubt about it. You know, I just, you know, take a ton of satisfaction or get a bunch of satisfaction of hearing those type of stories and getting kids to the next level and, you know, and then preaching to them once we get them in college, hey, make sure we take advantage of this opportunity that you've been given, because a lot of our kids have been able to get scholarships to go play in college. And then, you know, not only get them to that, okay, after you get out of college, take advantage of that education that you just got. So I love hearing stories like that, and I think that's something our club has done a really good job of, is placing kids and getting them in college and getting them scholarships. So, yeah, no, that's, I would take that over anyway.
44 young ladies have received scholarships through his program at Incarnate Word. He also started the Knights basketball program for boys and girls of all ages, and many of those kids have gone on to play at the next level as well. By the way, you can hear the entire interview with Coach Rolfes and Danny McLaughlin at Danny Mac, or Scoops with DannyMac.com, and 18 inductees today at the Chase Park Plaza going into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. So congratulations to them. 15 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday. We're going to talk hockey. Dr. John Kelly will be in to diagnose the Blues after this on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday. We'll visit with Barry Odom coming up in our next segment. Dennis Dodd will follow him as we'll talk college football with both of those guys. St. Louis Blues, though, lose last night on the corner of 14th and Clark by the score of 5-1. And as I said, leading into the previous commercial break, here to diagnose the note, Dr. John Kelly. Good morning. How are you?
Mike, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. Just kind of take me back through last night. I didn't get a chance to see the game traveling back from Florida, but just your take on what you witnessed at Scott Trade, or excuse me, at the Enterprise Center.
Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher, Mike. You know, prior to the game, the Blues had won two in a row. They had scored at least four goals in five straight games. And for the first time, really, this season, I think everybody on the team and around the team were starting to feel really good, and things were going in a positive direction. And then they play by far their worst game of the year. They look, quite honestly, Mike, a step slow from the opening faceoff until the end of the game. And, you know, Minnesota's not the fastest team, but they were sharp. They played fast. Their passing was great. They capitalized on a couple of lucky breaks to get the lead, and they were just really good. And quite honestly, the Blues were really never in the game. It was 2-1 late in the first when Bullmeister coughed up a puck at center ice and JT Brown scored on a breakaway. But really after that, it was no contest. And as I said, I'm still baffled by what happened last night at Enterprise.
Yeah, and you look at just the difference in shots on goal. I mean, 45-16 just can't happen, can it?
No, and that's the funny thing, Mike, is they were scoring so many goals. They came into the game averaging 3.73 goals a game, which is third best in the league. And, you know, the last thing I would have thought that, you know, the Blues would have an issue with last night would be generating chances and maybe scoring goals. Not that they're going to score four or five goals every night, but even in losses, like the opening loss against Winnipeg, they lose at 5-1, but they had close to 40 shots. So they had a lot of chances. But last night, quite honestly, the goaltender Devan Dubnyk barely broke a sweat. So not only did they lose, Mike, they just lost in a way that really was, I think, shocking to a lot of people.
What do you think of their play then on Thursday?
I thought they were very good. You know, Vegas is a team that's hungry, and, you know, they haven't been winning. They did win last night. But, you know, the Blues, you know, their top players played well. Tarasenko had a power play goal, and, you know, Jake Allen made some big saves in the third period, and they played very well. So, again, they had won two in a row, and you have some momentum. You're on a big homestand, and now it's all not back to square one necessarily, but now you're 4-5-3, and you have a good young team in Carolina coming in here, and then things get tougher. So that was a really big loss and an ugly loss for the Blues last night.
Yeah, but John, you know this sport so much better than I do. I mean, you're nine games in to a long season. Do you panic at this point in time at 4-5-3?
No, I don't think you panic at all. I mean, that's not the way good managers and leaders do things, whether you're talking about Doug Armstrong or the coaches or the players. I mean, you know, last year the Washington Capitals really struggled out of the gate, and they won the Stanley Cup. And conversely, the Blues had a great start, and, you know, we know what happened to them. You know, the biggest thing to me, Mike, and it continued again last night, they allowed 46 shots or 45 shots on home ice. The Blues have got to clean up their own end. And this now marks, I have my numbers written down, they have allowed three goals or more in 11 of their 12 games. So only one time, that was in Toronto, they allowed less than three goals. So that just is not even close to being good enough. So you can talk about offense all you want, and the Blues power play leads the league with 15 goals. All those things are nice. But until you keep the puck out of your net, it's going to be very hard to win.
Is that an individual thing? Is that a systems thing? How do you improve it on that end of the ice?
Well, I think the systems things have gotten better. I think early on, I think the Blues with some new players, you know, struggled to adapt the system and play within the system. But at times it is individual. You know, last night, the key goal by JT Brown, Bouwmeester has the puck basically at his own blue line, just outside the line. He has some options. He could go up the boards to a winger. He could go to a centerman. He could go across to Petrangelo, but then he really does nothing, and he coughs it up. And Petrangelo also, he makes a mistake by going too far up the ice, and he can't cover in case there is a turnover. So it's not just one guy.
Right.
But in that case last night, Bouwmeester should have made the play, and he didn't, and it ended up in your net.
All right, 12 games in. Give me an idea of somebody that's captured your attention, a young guy or somebody else that's been the most consistent player for this team to date.
Well, I think quite honestly, Ryan O'Reilly has been their best player. He had a goal last night and now has points in seven straight games. He's one of those guys, Mike, you talk about baseball players being 5-tool players. This guy would be, if you had a comparison in hockey, he'd be a 5-tool hockey player because he's just a really smart player. He passes the puck well. He can score goals. He's great in the faceoff circle. He's physical. He's very smart defensively. So I don't think there's any question right now that he has been the Blues' best player and hardest working player. You talk about last night. Well, you know who the hardest working player was in the Blues? It was Ryan O'Reilly, and that's a great thing to have. And oh, by the way, at practice every day, he's the first on, the last off. Works with the young kids. He has been, you know, I don't know, say better than advertised because I think we knew we were getting a good hockey player in St. Louis, but he has certainly lived up to advanced billing coming over from Buffalo.
Assess Pat Maroon through the first 12 games of his Blues career.
Quite honestly, not very good. You know, he has some assists in the power play, but I believe only has one assist at even strength and no goals. And I get the feeling watching him play now, Mike, that he almost isn't trying to score. And I know he is trying to score, but he seems to be frustrated. When he might get a chance to make a play or put a shot on goal, he's not doing that. And that, to me, says he doesn't have confidence. And that's what happens when you don't have a goal in 12 games. And right now, he's got to be better. He's got to move his feet and get to the net. And when he does get a chance, he's got to make plays or put pucks on goal.
Do you think he's pressing, trying to play well in his home city?
Absolutely. There's a lot of pressure on Pat. Number one, he's playing in front of his family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, he's on a one-year contract. And it's a huge year for him, Mike. Obviously, when you have a player that took a bit of a gamble, and he turned down offers that included multi-year deals to take a one-year deal and sort of betting on yourself, and now you're off to a tough start. So there is a lot of pressure individually and also, you know, the family and friends and things like that, and he knows he's a St. Louisan, so there's no question he's pressing right now.
Hey, John, thanks for your time, and thanks for educating me. I appreciate it.
Mike, anytime, my friend.
All right, buddy. Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
That is John Kelly. Of course, you enjoy. John, he does the games and does a terrific job on Fox Sports Midwest. 27 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday, still to come. We're going to visit with Barry Odom. We'll also hear from Dennis Dodd as we'll talk about a big day in college football, all right here on News Radio, 1120 KMOX.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Mike Kelly. Sports on a Sunday rolls on my favorite radio station, News Radio 1120 KMOX. Yesterday, inside the Swamp in Gainesville, for the second time in 4 years, Missouri spoiled homecoming afternoon for the Florida Gators as the Tigers go in and pound Florida 38-17. We're joined this morning, as we are each and every Sunday morning after a Tiger game, by Mizzou football coach Barry Odom. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, Mike. Doing well. Thanks again for having me on, and proud of our team on going into that environment and playing the way that we did. Really, on both sides of the ball, we executed at a really good level. And I thought, you know, through the course of the game, a number of guys got their number called on both sides of the ball, and they they executed really well.
Yeah, we're going to break down some of the numbers individually, but you said something afterwards in the conversation immediately following the game with Chris Gervino that I think speaks volumes about your locker room. And you said that the result of bouncing back after getting knocked to the deck by Kentucky the week before, that's not something that you cure in just 1 week in the week leading up to this game against Florida. Elaborate on that for our listeners.
Well, I really think that as devastating as the loss was last week, any moment in our program that is, the result of a 3.5 hour win or loss on the field is not going to define us either way, the greatest win or the toughest defeat. That's not really how we're built. We're built on, the foundational aspects of being honest and trust and love and real relationships in your locker room, and that's done through recruiting. That's done 24/7. It's not a one meeting, hey, let's go fight win. That's months and months and months strung together on becoming a complete program. And we've still got plenty of room to grow and continue to work on that. But if you're not a close organization in a number of ways, then you can and will allow a negative setback like we had last week to really set you back even further. And because of the work that we've put in, because of the type of kid that we have in our locker room, and the belief in the foundational approach of what we're doing, then you can have good times and bad times and still survive, because that's the way that this group is built. So I was proud of the way that they responded, and I thought that after the way that we practiced, I felt like that we had an opportunity to go play one of our best games and execute. And because our practice habits matched up the way that they're supposed to, but also then, get to the point of mentally going and doing it, because they had put in the physical work and the mental preparation, but then you've got to go apply it. And, we've talked about not looking behind us, not looking forward, just stay in the moment of right here and right now. And there'll be plenty of opportunities down the road, but we also need to learn and gain and take the experiences that we've had previously and get those applied into our everyday life.
We both know this, that different teams take on different personalities. This team has dropped two games that came on the final play of each of those games. Sometimes it takes teams a while to understand, when you're on that stage, how to push through and find a way to win late.
I think that's very true. The process of winning, the habit of winning, it sounds easy, hey, you're there, go do it, go take it. But also, the difference and the fine line of winning or losing a game in this conference is usually, so thin, the margin of error. And, you've got to make sure that you do play one snap at a time. And, I know everybody thinks that's a lot of coach talk, but it's so true and so important for us. You look at some of the things that we've talked about forever in this program, just within the game, the turnover margin. We didn't turn the ball over yesterday one time, and that's huge for our offense. Our third down efficiency on defense, we were as good as we've been all year. And those things, when you can take care of the ball and extend drives on third downs offensively, and then defensively get them into third downs and get off the field, that gives this team a chance to play well and win a game in the fourth quarter. So some of those measurable things that we talk about within the game, we were able to achieve those yesterday.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the individuals. We got to begin with Drew Locke. Yesterday, 24 of 32, he throws for 250, three touchdown passes. He moves past Chris Leak, Tim Tebow, and Peyton Manning. And now with 90 touchdown passes in his career, he sits all alone in third place in SEC history.
Isn't that awesome, man? Well, I mean, talking with him last night on the ride home, we're going through some of the plays, and he said my favorite play was when I scrambled and got the first down.
and because that was a big part, you know, of the progress that he continues to make. And he strained and he went and got the first down, you know, dove for it. It was awesome. And then he also trusted on the touchdown throw to Cam Scott. He trusted that it was going to come open. He stayed in the pocket and he stepped forward, moved forward a little bit in the pocket. The offensive line gave him time and did a nice job. And those were two moments for him that he realized, you know, he was continuing to still make progress. And I'm proud of him. And now it's, you know, the challenge to put that one behind and let's move forward and get the next one here in November.
You were able to run the ball, too. That was so important. Demaria Crockett, 114 yards rushing on 21 carries.
Yeah, he ran, I thought, Mike, maybe more purposefully than I've seen him run. And, you know, their offensive line continues to do a great job. And then there were some things that we put in yesterday schematically with the way we're using our tight ends on some of the blocking schemes that really worked for us. And then Damari ran with great pad level, and the intent that he was running the ball with, I was proud of.
You played the entire second half without your starting tight end, Albert Okwuegbunam. You played the entire game without your second-team tight end, Kendall Blanton, who's been out with a knee injury. Daniel Parker Jr., who, oh, by the way, came to camp as a defensive end, converted to tight end, played primarily most of the snaps. A converted offensive lineman, a former starting center, Sam Bailey, played a lot of snaps at tight end again for the second consecutive week. You've got to evaluate the job those two kids have done in each of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they both have I mentioned a little bit post-game about Daniel's attitude on doing whatever the football team needed. Very selfless in his actions, and Sam's the same way. And both played and did exactly, you know, in crunch time, so to speak. They stepped up and knew what their role needed to be, and they played at a pretty high level for what we were asking them to do. And they were two of the main parts to the reason that we were able to run the football successfully, because of the way that they handled their assignments. And, you know, from a consistent performance, they did a great job.
Finally, your team now 5-4, 1-4 in the SEC. In your three seasons, your team's in November now 7-2. You've got three games left: at home against Vanderbilt Saturday morning, 11 a.m. the kickoff, then on the road at Tennessee, then, of course, the Friday after Thanksgiving, home against Arkansas. Chance to close this thing on the right note, correct?
Yeah, no question. We talk about, you know, the month of November finishing strong, and each week is so important. And those that win in November, you know, the teams that do that, they continue to have the right habits, the preparation, and then the execution. And then they stay together as close as a team or family can. You know, and then there's other teams in November that, for whatever reason, they fall off. And we know what side of that discussion that we want to be on.
Thanks for the time this morning. Congratulations. I'll see you later in the week.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
That is Tigers football coach Barry Odom. His team wins in the Swamp in Gainesville by the score of 38-17. More on Sports on a Sunday comes your way after this on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Big day in college football yesterday. A number of games that potentially will have an impact on the final four teams that we see playing for college football's national championship. Here to talk about it with us on Sports on a Sunday is my friend, a guy who's a terrific writer and a really good guy, Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, one of my favorite guests that we get a chance to talk to occasionally on the show. Still in Baton Rouge. How are you this morning, my man?
I am great. It was quite a night, quite a run-up, I should say, at Tiger Stadium. The result wasn't what they wanted, but there is no place that partiers harder, I don't think, than Death Valley at night. It was quite an experience.
Yeah, Saturday night in Death Valley is something to treasure, to be sure. But Alabama came in with a powerhouse and absolutely took the Tigers apart on both sides of the ball, didn't they?
They really did. 29-0. It felt like 49-0, actually. And when Tua Tagovailoa hit a long pass, tight end Irv Smith Jr. near the end of halftime, end of the first half, it was 16-0. And I was doing a shot on camera, and I looked up in the stands, and it was just like it would suck the life out of the building. It was like there's no way they can come back from 16-0. And then obviously, it ended up being 29. But in one night, Tua probably sewed up the Heisman. Alabama did clinch the SEC West, and they shut out LSU for the third time since 2012, all three in the state of Alabama, one in New Orleans in 2012 in that champ game. So they are different, but they are the same, and just bulldozing everyone.
Yeah, it's 11 consecutive quarters now, shutout quarters for Alabama against LSU. 576 yards of total offense. Tua throws two touchdown passes. But really, the story, Dennis, was Quinnen Williams and that Alabama defense that made a statement on national television.
It really was. It's easy to fall in love with Tua and the offense every week, but the defense is not as good statistically as previous years, because we're used to seeing them top three in the country. They're 15th right now in total defense, but they came to play last night and just stuffed Joe Burrow, sacked him five times, held them down in yardage. At one point, I think it was 439-82 in total offense. And Quinnen Williams, well, people just have to see. It's kind of inside baseball that he's a nose tackle, a guy who's supposed to occupy blockers. Last night he had 10 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and 3.5 tackles for loss. He was dominant against LSU.
There's a lot of things I want to cover with you this morning about the weekend, but I want to stick with Alabama because, to me, this team underscores the evolution of Nick Saban as a head coach. And what I mean by that is that, you know, it was not too far removed that Alabama was a two-back, two-tight-in, quarterback-under-center team that was grounding and pounding people and playing a lot of ball control. They bring in Lane Kiffin. Kind of introduces them a little bit to the spread. Then they bring in Brian Daboll. He basically installs the New England Patriots passing game. Mike Locksley now has a quarterback that Alabama has never had with the ability to run this type of stuff, and they're a powerhouse. And, oh, by the way, it shows how the great coaches can adjust to the game, doesn't it?
Yeah, think about Alabama's entire history up until a few years ago was run the ball and play defense. And I'm going back to Bear Bryant and beyond, but I think the epiphany was, Mike, in 2012 when Johnny Football walked into Bryant Denny and beat them.
Exactly.
I don't know that for sure, but I think it had an influence on Nick where he looked at it from a defensive standpoint. They didn't match up with them that day defensively, and he said, we've got to not only recruit guys on defense that can stop some of these zone reach spread quarterbacks, let's see what we can do with it. And it started, as you said, about 4 years ago with Lane Kiffin sort of talking him into going to the zone read concepts. That was one thing. But as you mentioned, when Tua came along and they adopted some of these RPO things and started really attacking downfield, people don't realize Alabama's a pass-first offense. They threw 42 times Saturday night. They threw 31 at halftime, 20 out of 31 for Tua. And they've got the best quarterback in the country. And it really goes back to a simple phrase in college football today: if you have a quarterback, you have a chance.
Yeah.
You know, even if that defense wasn't as good as it was last night, they were going to win that game because of him.
Okay, so let's go around the country. Clemson absolutely destroys Louisville, 77-16. Travis Etienne runs for 153 and two touchdowns, sets up a showdown next week with Boston College. But Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers, it appears to be on pace to, again, make it back to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think game day is going to Boston College next week. If that's the biggest game of the week, that's a stretch, because Clemson's on a night. That's an unprecedented run they're on now. They're strafing a really mediocre ACC, frankly. But I think they're doing it because they can, in part because they don't want to end up in that number four seed and face Alabama in the first round. Doesn't look like they're going to come anywhere near the fourth seed. They're number two in the country. They've scored, 50 the last three or four games at least. And no one's even thinking about Kelly Bryant. Trevor Lawrence had another fantastic game. He was big. And he's the guy that's going to give them a chance against Alabama, because that's who Clemson is competing against these days. They're competing against playing Alabama again. It looks for all the world we're going to have Clemson-Alabama for four straight years.
Notre Dame rolls at Northwestern. I say roll. They win by 10. They handle the Cats on the road. This is an Irish team that I think is going to finish the season unbeaten and probably in the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be their toughest
Agree.
Game down this stretch, not of the season, but as it became evident, they were good. Because it was at Northwestern because Northwestern is a tough team to figure out. They were 5-3 going into this game, but had been 11-1 against Big Ten teams. They had cleaned up in the Big Ten, but not in the non-conference. And you can't really get a grasp on them. Their leading rusher, by going into the game, had retired from football after week three because of injuries, and he still led the team in rushing. They didn't rush the ball well. Notre Dame clamped down defensively. It's the third time in the last five games they had held the opponent under 250 yards, and eventually just overcame them 31-21.
Yeah, and Ian Book's playing at a high level as well. Okay, yeah. So let's talk Michigan and Oklahoma. Michigan rolls. They've been on a roll since that opening week loss against Notre Dame. They beat Penn State 42-7. Oklahoma wins a shootout at Texas Tech. Oh, by the way, a shootout in the Big 12. Who's surprised by that?
Nope.
Is the Big 12 and the Big 10 on the outside looking in, you think, this year in the playoffs?
I think that the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Okay. It's really going to be hard for, I think, the Pac-12, even if Washington State wins the rest of their games. First of all, I don't know if they'll do that. They still have Washington and the Apple Cup to go. To have enough juice to get into the top four, I think maybe Oklahoma, if one of those top four lose. Because, look, now the deal is that none of those top four play each other.
Right.
So win and they're in. You know, who's the most susceptible? I don't know. Maybe Michigan. They've got to play at Ohio State the last day of the season on November 24th. I'll tell you what, I'd put a whole lot of money on Michigan. I don't have much faith in Ohio State right now, especially after the game yesterday against Nebraska. I think Michigan is clearly the best team in the Big Ten. And then Oklahoma, again, is on the outside looking in. You can't keep playing these shootouts and get much respect from the committee. You're going to need help to get into that top four.
Alabama's biggest test is going to come in the SEC championship game when they take on Georgia inside the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta on December the 1st. Dennis Dodd, as always, great pleasure to talk to you. Travel safe back from Baton Rouge.
Mike, thanks so much.
All right, take care. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports with us on Sports on a Sunday. Coming up next hour, we're going to hear from Travis Ford. We'll also hear a conversation that Dan McLaughlin had with Greg Garcia. John Mozeliak will join us. We'll also hear from Frank Viverito. Last night, not a good night on the corner of 14th and Clark for the Blues as they lose 5-1 to the Minnesota Wild. Afterwards, Alex Pietrangelo.
It's not good enough. I mean, trying to find answers here, right? Give up a couple goals early. It doesn't matter. Teams are going to score goals. We got to find a way to kind of turned that thing around and took a couple penalties in a row there in the second period after we had a little bit of momentum and a tough time getting back.
They had so many quality chances. I mean, is there any explanation for that?
They did turnovers. I think we were too complicated with the puck. The guys were over, we're not making a play, and they had thrown a lot of pucks to the net. 16 shots or whatever we had, that's not good enough on our end.
Alex, you've had a couple of these now on home ice too. I mean, it just
that's
like
unacceptable, right? This is a place that for years it was hard to play. Now it's not. We got to get back to that.
Do you think was the case of them maybe just dictating their style of play?
They did early, but it doesn't matter. We're at home. We have the advantage of matchups there, and we should find a way to be able to get that back.
You got back on the rails there for a couple of games, and then it just seems like when you fall off hard. What are you doing differently that's not consistent enough?
Yeah, if they get one early, it seems like we're trying too much to try and get back into it. I think if we just stick to our game, you know, sometimes you get bad bounces, they're going to score goals, it's going to happen. It's our responsibility to stick with the plan that the coaches put forward and execute it, and we did that for two games, and we had success.
We're in November now. I mean, is it
Time to get going. I mean, divisional games, we got to win these.
Brutal honesty from the Blues captain, Alex Pietrangelo, and I love what he said. This used to be a tough place to play. Now it's not. We've got to get back to that. The Blues play Carolina coming up on Tuesday after being embarrassed at home. 5-1 last night against the Minnesota Wild. Again, the Wild outshoot the Blues. 45-16, Minnesota's won 7 of its last 8 games. That's going to do it for our first hour of Sports on a Sunday. Our thanks to John Kelly, Missouri football coach Barry Odom, and also Dennis Dodd. And again, coming up next hour, we'll hear from Frank Viverito. He'll tell you about the Musio Awards, which will coming up a little bit later this month. John Mozeliak will give us a preview of the general manager meetings, which get underway Tuesday in Carlsbad, California. Travis Ford, the Billikens head coach, will join us prior to their season opening game on Tuesday. And of course, Dan McLaughlin will visit with Greg Garcia coming up on KMOX.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.